ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
As part of the federal government's plan to combat violence against women, the Prime Minister yesterday announced a raft of measures designed to tackle online harm. They include a trial of age verification technology and legislation to ban the creation and non-consensual distribution of deep fake pornography. But how far will these measures go towards keeping women and children safe online? And how straightforward will it be to implement and enforce the proposed measures? Alastair McGibbon is Chief Strategy Officer at CyberCX and was the inaugural eSafety Commissioner. He joined me a short time ago. Alastair, welcome to the program.
Morning, Patricia.
When we're looking at ways to prevent violence against women, how important is it that we look at what's happening online?
Well, the days of thinking about the real world and the internet-connected world as being two separate places are over. So when you're talking about violence in the offline world, you certainly have to be thinking about how the online world influences, encourages, and indeed in some cases creates violence against women.
One of the measures announced is the plan to pilot age verification technology. Just explain what that is.
Well, it's the concept of being able to obviously verify that Patricia is of age to be able to see certain types of material, very similar to perhaps getting into a pub or getting into a movie theatre these days with certain types of content or classification. So it could be something as simple as an organisation seeing a proof of age card through to newer technologies that might do things like look at your bone structure and muscles and determine that the computer thinks you're over a certain age.
Okay. And do you think the technology is ready and able to make that determination to stop young people from accessing harmful content online?
Look, is it possible to verify a person's likely age? Yes. Do I think people could get around that technology? Of course. And that's my biggest fear. I'd like to think it would work. I'd like to think it could stop. Let's say my phone had a tag that says I was a child, that it would stop me seeing accidentally certain things. But do I think people can get around that if they want to see content? Yes. But look, I think inaction in this modern environment has led us to the place that we are now, which is a terrible place of complete lack of control on the internet. So I think having a pilot working out, does this work? Are there technologies that can be privacy enhancing and secure while reducing some of this harm? Let's give it a go. Do I think it'll fail? Likely, but let's have a crack.
But you think it's likely to fail?
Look, I do, sadly. I think there are other things that the government spoke about yesterday that will have more effect. Things like criminalising the production of deep fake pornography, where they'll put the face of the victim, a real victim, onto the body of another person, criminalising the doxing, the leaking of information to cause harm. All of those things are very legitimate. And I think putting more pressure on people that create the toxic masculinity online makes perfect sense too.
You say you think that the other measures like criminalising deepfake pornography is more useful. Just explain to me why you're convinced that that would be more helpful and how, like, practically people would be able to be pursued for that.
Yeah, well, we firstly need to create red lines in our society. We actually have to telegraph what we believe is acceptable, what we believe is fair and right. But of course, you need to enforce those laws. The government has said it will increase funding for my old office, the one now run by Julian Mangrant, the eSafety Commissioner. That's a good thing. So there'll be more people to help enforce that. We've seen recently that even that can be controversial, by the way. So I'm not suggesting this is all plain sailing. I think, Patricia, we're reaping our quite light touch approach towards the internet globally now, all of the negative pieces. But these are all positive steps towards pushing the rule of law into a very key part of our society. And law enforcement and changing social values should be hard, right? We don't want it to be easy. If it was easy, we would end up in that dystopian world where governments controlled everything. But equally, we need a place where governments can give us protections, give our citizens the concept of some form of safety. I'm making an assumption here, Patricia, with you. I know plenty of high-profile women who are terribly treated on the internet, threats of violence and death. It wouldn't be acceptable offline. Why have we allowed it to be acceptable online for so long? Let's take back that part of our world. It will just take time. It'll be hard. We will fail in so many parts. But if we don't start that journey, you're never going to solve the offline problems that are clearly so dire and requiring very significant actions themselves.
Do we need to be realistic at the same time? I mean, we keep hearing, for instance, about the proliferation of Andrew Tate and his various followers and the fact that, you know, younger men are being radicalised by him. Can we stop that? Or is that just going to continue?
Well, I think all of us have a responsibility online just as we do offline. I mean, this does actually go down to individuals as much as it does governments, as to families and groups of people, where we've got to stand up and say that that type of behaviour is completely unacceptable, online and offline. And this is the point I keep making. The fact that we make a distinction between our online lives and our offline lives is part of the reason why people like the toxic people like Andrew Tate can not just survive but flourish. So as individuals, we need to do more. Certainly, we need to shape the environment around him to make it harder. And what do I mean by that? I mean platforms need to take more responsibility. If these were offline institutions, they wouldn't so freely have his speech there. And that's a sort of strange statement. That's suggesting that maybe there shouldn't be complete free speech. Well, of course there shouldn't be. There isn't it in the offline world. Why do we think it should happen online? Again, back to my thesis, there's no difference between the two. So we need to make it harder for people like him through our individual actions, how we consume when we see people consuming this, take it on. When there are platforms that promote him, let's take on those platforms. Let's create obligations on them for the social violence that they create. And that's how we fight this. We can't stop it per se, but we can certainly make it less easy, make it less pervasive, and most importantly, make it less influential on a group of young men that people like him have stolen from us as society.
You say stolen from us as a society. Has the horse bolted already on all of this? We're coming to it pretty late, aren't we?
I'm a glass half full guy, Patricia. I couldn't have spent 20 years dealing with the internet and all of the weird things it throws up at us and not think we can make a change. And I think we can. Is it late in the piece? Sure. One of the reasons we're late, Patricia, is we took a really light touch towards the internet. We didn't want to stifle its creativity. We didn't want to stifle the businesses that have stemmed from it. And I think we'd all agree we didn't stifle them. They're there. They're some of the most profitable companies in the world. It's time for them to take responsibility for their actions too. Ultimately, it will be in their interest that this is a much cleaner, normal reflection of the societies that they serve and make money from. If you can't get them to cooperate, legislate. Now, I'm not naive to suggest that that will just be plain sailing too. We're seeing that already in the courts, you know, literally in the last couple of weeks. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try. And again, codify the responsibility, regulate the responsibility for these firms. We won't be the only country doing it. The Federal Police Commissioner at that press club address that you mentioned said that 35 police commissioners in Europe had exactly the same plea, had written to those companies on exactly the same things. That's not just Australia. That's liberal Western Europe. And the last thing I'd say on this, Patricia, and people will say, well, you know, if every government got to do this, look at the world we'd become. Well, yeah, sure, but we are a democracy. People may not like all the decisions or all the laws, but it comes from democratically elected politicians working in parliaments with courts and judicial officers who interpret hundreds of years of case law to shape how that law gets interpreted. This is not some sudden rush towards regulating the internet. This is the slow grind of legislation and regulation. It will win in the end, somewhere, somehow, but you've got to start that process.
Alistair, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, PK.
Alistair McGibbon is Chief Strategy Officer at CyberCX and was the inaugural eSafety Commissioner. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.